Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. What a special episode we have today. My pal Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub is joining me. And it's always probably my favorite conversations about the Red Sox are with Matt. I think we've just kind of always kind of seen the game in a similar way, but not so similar that we can't still argue about it. And so I'm very happy to have Matt on the podcast today. Matt works for 98.5. He has his own podcast over there called the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, which is awesome. And he does the baseball show with Tony Maz, or when Tony Maz is not in, right?
And when Maz is in every Friday night throughout the spring, summer, and hopefully deep into the fall, Mastro. So it's good to be on with you. Are you catching yellow fever yet?
Oh, my God. I hate it. I have no uniforms. Yellow fever. I don't like the uniforms, and I just, you know, everybody's kind of calling me a Grinch for this opinion, but I just don't like this idea that, oh man, we're beating up on the Orioles and the Mets, so we got to wear these uniforms forever. We're awesome now. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, sure, let's see. If they go out and crush the Yankees in these yellow uniforms, we're on to something. But right now, the only enjoyable part of this to me was Chris Sale saying that he likes them and thinking about him cutting up the White Sox uniforms has been the only enjoyable part of this.
You know, normally I am a traditionalist. I think that they just look so sharp, though. I'm all about it. You know, if you caught me a little bit later in the day, Mastro, I would be wearing my brand new baby blue Red Sox hat.
No, you bought one?
I kid you not. Yes, I participated in the cash grab. I found one. They're very hard to find. I found one at a Dick's Sporting Goods near me. I'm going out after this to get my baby blue Red Sox hat. I'm going to Cooperstown tomorrow. I'm going to be wearing it there because, again, normally I'm a traditionalist, but man, I do like style. What can I say? Those things, sharp,
Here's Mastro. I strongly disagree. I don't like them. I think they look disgusting. But what I will say about it is I appreciate the creativity and willingness to try something new. I think they whiffed. I understand a lot of people like them. I don't like them, but I appreciate that we're trying something new. So in the spirit of trying something new, the Red Sox are trying something new. It's called not playing defense and just seeing if they could outslug every other team in baseball. And it's working, kind of. So that's the main topic of the show today, because Matt and I have discussed this plenty of times, and I want to dig into it with the playoffs around the corner. The Red Sox looking like they're going to get in there. Is what do they do about this weird roster? How do they best fit against the teams that they're going to play against? That's going to be the topic of today's show. We're brought to you by the Locked On MLB podcast. If you're looking for a broader spectrum view of Major League Baseball and what's going on this year, check out the Locked On MLB podcast with Sully. So the Red Sox, since Kyle Schwarber has come into the lineup on August 13th, have an 852 OPS, which is far and away the best in baseball. They've also made 28 errors in 36 games, which is the fourth most in baseball. They're 22-14 in that span, but they're not beating the good teams. So what is your general takeaway of what do you do with Kyle Schwarber? What's the best fit? Do you want him in the lineup every day? What stands out to you right now about what they're looking like on the field and how they're best suited to win games?
My general take is Alex Cora is going to have to get hot, because his job is going to be extremely, extremely difficult in the wild card game, and if they win the wild card game in the division round and hopefully beyond. Because, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past, Mastro. Schwarber can rake. I mean, the guy can freaking hit. I love watching him at the plate. He's got a great approach. Like, he's a softball player, but I mean, he works counts, he works walks. Like, I mean, and he's just the type of guy that terrifies you in a big moment, because 2016, how many big hits did he have for the Cubs? It feels like he's just locked in right now. And when that guy gets locked in, he can be the hottest hitter on planet Earth. Like, he's hotter than the sun. The only person hotter on planet Earth right now is Bobby Dalbec. So maybe Kyle Schwarber's Mercury and Bobby Dalbec is the sun. So that's all well and good. That's great. The problem is that fit does matter. And in a one-game playoff, Alex Cora is going to have a lot of really, really difficult decisions, because, you know, we talked about it. do you lose a game because you have a bad defense? You know, like, do you lose a game because you get your best offensive lineup in the game and then somebody makes an error in center field, or, you know, something goes wrong here? So, like, that's something that Alex Cora is really, really going to have to weigh. So there's no doubt that Chaim Bloom made the team better at the deadline. You know, the whole talk about, well, the Red Sox did nothing at the deadline. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I played into it, so I mean, I'm not going to, you know, run from this. But I guess my whole point was, sure, they got better, but they didn't find fit. And I feel like fit shows up in the short term. Now, Kyle Schwarber's impact in the lineup shows up in the long term. But in a one-game playoff, which is what the Red Sox are going to be in, I just have this deep-seated fear that the Red Sox are going to lose that game because of something stupid on the base paths, or perhaps more likely because of bad defense, because they're just not built to play good defense. Like, if you want to get Kyle Schwarber into the lineup, he's probably your DH, right? I mean, Dahlbeck's hotter than, you know, anything right now. He's probably going to be your first baseman. So Schwarber's your DH. Does that mean you're putting Martinez in the outfield? Does that mean Schwarber's your, you know, first baseman? Does that mean he's not even playing? Like, it's just, so when I say that Alex Cora has to get hot, Mastro, Alex Cora is going to have to get hot because he's going to have to make that decision every night. Am I going to put a defense first lineup out there, or am I going to try and, you know, play it fast and loose for the, you know, for the first 5 to 6 innings, you know, and then, and see what happens here, you know, and, you know, try and figure it out. Hope you get out to a lead and then put your best defensive lineup in. It's going to be a really tough decision. And, you know, there's so much to talk about when it comes to that wild card game, but I don't know. I've got some concerns. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. When I think about, like, the ugliest styles of play that we've seen in baseball this year, and I was having this talk with my friend Tim Britton, who covers the Mets for The Athletic, that I have never seen uglier baseball. Like, it seems like last year, obviously with the pandemic, it just seemed like the game was weird. This year, it's a little less weird, but it's still ugly. And I don't find a lot of teams that just play smooth, pretty baseball. My theory is it's just the American League. That's just kind of where the American League's gone. And if you look at, like, a lot of the American League playoff teams, or probably teams that are going to be in the playoffs, the Red Sox have the worst fielding percentage in the American League. The White Sox have the third worst fielding percentage in the American League. The Yankees are right there tied with the White Sox. The Blue Jays don't play very good defense. The teams that are probably going to make the playoffs in the American League, for the most part, other than the Astros and the Rays, don't play good defense. They're just, like you said, kind of a softball team. So, you know, this is why I love the San Francisco Giants. I was watching the Giants on ESPN last night. I mean, it's just smooth, pretty baseball. So the question is, are they just going to get into slugfests, or are they going to have to play tight? And I think, you know, you made the point the other night when we were talking about this, it depends on the opponent and where they're playing. The Jays and the Yankees, it's going to be an ugly slugfest anyways. You probably just go with offense. It's going to be a weird game in what's going to happen there. Do you just go with your best offense? But if you get into a 5-game series with the Rays, I mean, these are one-run games a lot of times. Like, can you afford it? I think that's where you start looking at prioritizing defense over offense. And I think the big question is going to be when there's a lefty on the mound and the Rays are going to mess with them. You know the Rays are going to mess with them. They're going to start a lefty for 10 pitches and then pull him out, or they're going to start a righty and then pull him and bring in a lefty. Alex Cora is going to have to figure out, not based on matchups, but based on his best defensive positioning, if they make it past the wild card.
What a great point about the Rays, by the way, because, you know, when you and I were chatting the other night, you know, I was kind of focusing on the wild card game. And, you know, the point that I've been making for quite some time is that home field advantage in the wild card game, kind of bringing it back to the context of, you know, the upcoming series with the Yankees and the final week of the season, home field advantage in the wild card game is absolutely massive for the Red Sox. It is imperative that they get home field advantage, not just for the fact that, do you really want to go to the Bronx and have 55,000 screaming New Yorkers, you know, on top of you as you're trying to get 3 crucial outs late in a ball game? Like, we know that's a difficult place to go. Like, do you want to go on the road? Of course you never want to go on the road in a 1-game playoff. You'd so much rather that be at Fenway Park. Friendly, you know, Red Sox fans, you know, will be on the opponent. They'll make it difficult. Like, we know all of that. But just in the context of pure baseball, Jason, if you're playing at Fenway Park, you might be able to hide J.D. Martinez in left field for 6 innings.
Yeah.
Like, going back to that discussion, that debate, that conflict that Alex Cora is going to have every single night. Do I put my best offensive lineup in the game? How do I balance that with defense? How do I line up here, both, you know, in the lineup and in the field? in a one-game playoff, if you're at home, I think I'm okay with JD Martinez playing left field for six innings and hoping that you get a lead.
Yep.
If that's happening at Rogers Center, I'm not putting JD Martinez in the outfield. If that's happening at Yankee Stadium, I don't think I'm putting JD Martinez at right field at Yankee Stadium. I know they tried that earlier on. It's just, not
great. What do you do? You know, if they throw like Jordan Montgomery in game two, I mean, what do you do? You're going to have Alex Verdugo start against a left-hander?
So again, that's why Alex Cora is going to have to get hot, you know, and then so just in the context of the wild card game.
Oh, sorry, I just said game two, by the way.
Right, exactly. You're thinking LDS, but, you know, that would be against the Rays, and you're on top of it, by the way, you know, saying that, well, the Rays are going to open with a guy and then they're going to go to the lefty. And then all of a sudden you got your, you know, right handed lineup, you got a lefty, like all that stuff. Yeah. But just in the context of the wild card game, if you're facing the Rays or if you're facing the Jays, you're getting Robbie Ray.
Right.
Getting Berríos. If you're facing the Yankees, you're getting Garrett Cole. And, you know, so then are you starting Bobby Dalbec against Garrett Cole in the wild card game, even though he's, you know, hotter than the sun right now? It's just, it's fascinating. It is. Like
Schwarber at first against Garrett Cole, right?
Do you trust Schwarber at first in a wild card
game? No, but that's going to be, I just don't feel like that's going to be a game that comes down to a defensive mistake. Like, it just feels like one team's going to clobber the other. And I don't know why, but that's just the way a lot of these Yankees-Red Sox games have gone this year. Neither one plays good defense, and they're using Schwarber against high-velocity pitchers. That's just kind of what they're doing. And last time I checked, Cole's velocity was still pretty good. So I don't know. I think Dalbec probably sits against Garrett Cole, and they bring him off the bench. But, it's going to be tough.
Well, right. I mean, there's no right answer because – at the same time, Jason, I could make the argument, sure, you don't want Dalbec theoretically against the righty, but if defense doesn't matter in this game because it's a slugfest, well, why doesn't Dalbec play first base? Schwarber's your DH, Martinez in left, and Verdugo in center, and Hernandez at second base.
At second.
Because who's your second baseman right now? So again, like, you're going to have, Cora's going to have to get hot, because let's say he goes with Arroyo at second base. If he's back, he's available. Arroyo at second. You know, Hernandez in center, and then that means somebody's sitting. Well, then all of a sudden, if Arroyo goes 0-for-3 with two strikeouts, you're saying, well, then why didn't you go with your best offensive lineup? Like, there's going to be so much second guessing of Alex Cora, so you better hope that he gets it right. By the way, I do have faith that Alex Cora is going to get it right more times than not. I think he's a good manager, but I don't think Chaim Bloom made his job easy in the postseason. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to continue this discussion in the second segment of the show, so please stick around for that. We're brought to you by DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. No more asking your neighbor for his login password to something and sharing yours with your cousin. The best part is there's no annual contract like there used to be for a lot of these cable companies. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We are brought to you by Molecule. Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress. It comes in a box. It's cool to the touch. It's not like other foam mattresses. I got to say, I got a mattress in a box when I moved last time, and it was great. It just comes in a box. You put it in your room. You open it up. Done. The easiest way to move a mattress I've ever seen. Molecule mattress has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. It has zone reflex layers that adjust in weird sleep positions so you never awake with a stiff neck or a sore back, and it's antimicrobial. Molecule mattress is how athletes get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. Visit molecule.com and save 20% with promo code Locked On. Again, save 20% with promo code Locked on molecule.com. All right, we're back with Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub talking a lot about Kyle Schwarber and what the Red Sox lineup is going to look like in the postseason, which it certainly seems like they're going to make it. At this point, we've got a huge 3-game series with the Yankees at Fenway Park this weekend. Garrett Cole against Nathan Eovaldi on Friday night should be a really good one. Red Sox could put them away here. And this is going to be, you know, this is the Garrett Cole game. So we could see right away what Alex Cora's best lineup looks like against Garrett Cole. The only problem is the second baseman who's on fire for the Red Sox is Jose Iglesias, and he's not eligible for the postseason, which brings us back to the trade deadline. It always comes back to the trade deadline.
Sure does.
And we spent a lot of time after the trade deadline destroying Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox for, you know, rightfully kind of burying this team for a couple weeks, where the Red Sox knew they weren't going to get Schwarber for at least 2 weeks. They knew they were going to have to teach him a new position. They didn't get any pitching help when Chris Sale was still 2 weeks away from coming back, and they sank in the standings and completely flipped the script. Now we're all talking about, well, maybe it was a great trade deadline. Kyle Schwarber looks great. The Red Sox are doing well with him. Let's not forget that they were leading the division for the entire season until the week of the trade deadline and then fell apart. So I'm still not ready to say Chaim Bloom won the trade deadline. I think it's a little preemptive to do that. What is your feelings now looking back after, yeah, maybe we were too hard on Bloom at the time, but I'm getting a little frustrated now. People are saying, oh, what a great trade deadline. Schwarber's amazing. You know, this is fantastic. Like, let's hold your horses here. All we're going to get out of this team now is a one game winner go home situation where they were leading the division before.
You know, we have a saying, Mastro, in our business, which is, hey, we've got a show to do today, right? So,
yeah,
you know, there is, I guess, a slight element, maybe naturally, that we go a little as the wind blows. And of in course. That moment, of course, I mean, it was bad. It was bad for the Red Sox. And I do believe that their, I don't want to call it inactivity at the deadline, but the fact that they didn't get an impact player right away and they had to wait 2 weeks, I mean, it's just, there's no doubt about it. The team went into a funk. They were affected by, you know, the fact that they did not get an instant impact the way that everybody else did. I mean, Anthony Rizzo's cooled off, but he gave the Yankees an immediate impact. Chris Bryant gave the Cubs an immediate impact. So, you know, there's no doubt that, the Red Sox were frustrated by that. I guess just in the context of the deadline as a whole, though, we won't know until that wild card game. We won't know until the playoffs. We really won't know until the season is over. You know why? Because let's say Kyle Schwarber makes an error at first base that costs him that game.
Yep.
Well, was that a good trade, or should you have traded for a real first baseman?
Absolutely.
Or, you know, let's say, you know, Hansel Robles comes in that game, you know, because you're trying to piece something together, and I pray to God he's not pitching in the wild card game. You know, Austin.
Oh, Davis, he will
too. They'll find a way. So here's the thing: like, if Kyle Schwarber carries them in the playoffs, and he's, you know, obviously an impact bat, and Bobby Dalbec stays hot, well, then they're vindicated. You know, I mean, like, they were right to not get somebody else. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
we'll find out. You know, but also at the same time, if Bobby Dalbec goes, you know, 0-for-12 in the division series, and, you know, Schwarber has to be your DH and you're not putting him out there, well, then acquiring Schwarber was good, but you still needed a first baseman. You know what I mean? So it's just, we don't have the answer on it yet. It looks a hell of a lot better for Chaim Bloom. There's no doubt about it. I love the Schwarber trade from day one. I just said he wasn't a fit. I said, I really like the player, but he wasn't a fit. I thought they were going to get a real first baseman. Bobby Dalbec, being the hottest hitter on planet Earth, has certainly helped them with that. So, not to say it's a cop-out, Mastro, but it's true. Like, ask me after the wild card game. Ask me after the season's over, you know?
Absolutely. It's a big picture. You got to take everything into account. And, even if Schwarber was phenomenal from start to finish for this team and then blows it in the wild card game, well, now, you know, was it a good trade? Was it not? I think you build it all into a package and look at it as a whole. Right. And so right now, that's why I'm getting a little frustrated right now, seeing a lot of media personalities saying, well, this was a great trade. The Red Sox actually had a great trade deadline. You know, look at Hansel Robles and Austin Davis now. They're actually getting some big outs. Well, I mean, they were terrible for the first week and a half, 2 weeks they were on the team when this team sunk, when Schwarber wasn't playing. And then JD Martinez had to play the outfield, got hurt, had to miss an entire series. Let's not suddenly anoint Chaim Bloom as the trade deadline connoisseur. I mean, he may have done a decent job. We'll see. They still fell out of the division lead, which is the entire point of this wild card system to incentivize winning a division. It is a huge, huge difference between getting a spot in a 5-game series or just having to play one game. So I'm just a little bit annoyed with the, you know, Chaim Bloom did a great job. Wow, this Kyle Schwarber, what a player, you know, fantastic. No, the Red Sox stunk for a while and had to really overcome some stuff. And I give Alex Cora a lot of credit. Alex Cora is not going to get any Manager of the Year votes, but he should. Yeah. I do think he should.
Well, I mean, again, it's all in the context of winning, right? So if Schwarber comes in and is red hot ever since he comes off the, you know, IL, but you lose the wild card game because you didn't get real pitching help, or Bobby Dalbec goes 0-for-4 and makes an error at first base and you didn't get a real first baseman, it's like, well, great, Kyle Schwarber was good, but did that help you win? Like, we give Dave Dombrowski so much credit for that 2018 trade deadline acquiring Eovaldi and Steve Pearce. Let's not forget, people ripped Dave Dombrowski for not improving that bullpen at the deadline. I was right there with him. Yep. Nobody talks about it now. Why? Because Nathan Eovaldi was one of the best pickups you could ever have at a deadline. He gives you, you know, a tremendous boost in the playoffs, both as a starter and out of the bullpen. Steve Pearce is your World Series MVP. So, but we give Dave Dombrowski all the credit in the world for that. Why? Because it's in the context of winning. So that's how we judge a successful trade. I mean, if you asked Red Sox fans in August and September of 2018, and I know because I was right there leading the charge, it was that Dave Dombrowski let that team down at the deadline and failed them. So, like, we can't turn around if the Red Sox, you know, then, you know, lose in the wild card game and Schwarber does nothing or the pitching staff isn't good and say, oh, good deadline for Chaim Bloom. Well, no, hold on. It's all about winning here. Schwarber helps you win. It's a great deadline. You know, that's, I hate to, you know, it's kind of a cop out, but it's true.
I agree for the most part, but I just don't agree because of the nature of the wild card game. Mm-hmm. Like, if they lose the wild card game and Schwarber goes 4-for-4 with four homers and Austin Davis and Hansel Robles pitch like the three best innings you've ever seen, I'm still going to blame Chaim Bloom for putting them in that spot, for not building on a team that was not supposed to be there, that was leading a division and letting every team in that division go out and get better, and you not doing anything that's going to help your team for a couple weeks. I'm still going to blame him for that, because this is what it's all about. It's about winning the division. It's not about sneaking in as a wild card team. You know who it's about sneaking in as a wild card team for? The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep.
You know, that's what the wild card is for, a team that just gets hot at the right time. Wow, nobody thought they'd be here. Now look at them. Not a team that's leading the division the whole year and then falls apart and barely hangs on into the wild card game. You know, that's my whole point on this is I don't care if the pickups were the best or not in the wild card game and they play phenomenally. The fact that they're even in the wild card game is strike one to me, because that it's just such a huge disadvantage.
You are a tough cookie, Mastro, and that's why you and I are friends.
All right, coming up in the final segment, we're going to talk a little bit about pitching, and I want to get Matt's thoughts on what he would do with the pitching staff in the postseason, particularly in a wild card game. So stick around for that. We're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is back and better than ever. With football season in full swing, there's a lot of promotions you can get on BetOnline.com right now. They've got a 100% welcome bonus match. So if you sign up on BetOnline and put some money in there, they will match you up to $100, 100%. You got to use the promo code NFL100 for that. Or you could use the promo code LOCKEDON and get the Locked On bonus. They've got everything on BetOnline. You could bet on baseball, you could bet on football, you could bet on UFC, you could bet on golf. It's all there on BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. We're brought to you by Rock Auto. There's no need to go back to the car dealership. No need to go to any of the auto parts stores and try to find your parts in the stores and going through the aisles. It's all on rockauto.com. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it makes it too hard to do it in person. Why endure the pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts for you on their computer? You could do it on rockauto.com. It's a family business. They've been doing it for 20 years. The prices are low. They have everything you can need. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solutions to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available, and write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, rockauto.com. All right, we're back with Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub for the final segment. We're going to talk about the Red Sox pitching. The question everybody wants to know, who are you starting in the wild card game? Is it Eovaldi or Sale?
I'm starting Eovaldi because the Yankees and the Blue Jays are both heavily right-handed lineups. And, I mean, Eovaldi has owned the Yankees this year. Yep. So I'm starting Eovaldi. He's been your best pitcher. I don't know who you're starting, but that's who I'm starting.
So I think that's really good reasoning, and I totally understand the argument. I've also heard the argument that this guy's been your ace all year. There's got to be an emotional aspect of pitching behind him. After everything he's done for you this year, I still go with Sale. I just think there's a different mentality when Chris Sale's on the mound, that they've played differently for him. And you even see it with the run support now. And maybe it's a fluke. I've always been a guy that I believe in run support. I think it says something. When Rick Porcello won all those games and won the Cy Young, you know, he wasn't the best pitcher in the planet, but his team played well for him. And there was a confidence with him on the mound. I believe in that stuff. The other thing that I think is really interesting about this debate is Chris Sale has made some funny comments about his velocity since he's come back. And he's had nights where he's sat around 92. He's had nights where he's sat around 95. And the answers that he's giving are he doesn't know until that day what he's got. That's ever since coming back from Tommy John, his arm is just, he has no idea what he's going to have. And so I kind of like the idea of starting Sale, because maybe he comes out and he doesn't have it, but you know right away, okay, he's sitting at 92. He doesn't got it today.
It's all hands on deck.
And it's all hands on deck. Then you go to Eovaldi and just start mixing and matching. But if Sale comes out throwing 98, you know, isn't that a guy you want to pitch as many innings as possible?
Well,
or Eovaldi to me is just a little bit harder to read, because he'll have a terrible first inning and then he'll go throw five shutout innings. You know what I mean?
No, it's a great point. And, you know, also I think home field advantage plays a big role here too. Let's say, for the sake of discussion, this game is being played at Yankee Stadium. Well, I think I'd prefer to have Chris Sale on the mound at Yankee Stadium as a lefty, because then you're coming in on righties. They're not, you know, taking a righty-righty the other way to the short porch. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think, again, it comes back to home field advantage being so huge in this series, you know, being so huge in the wild card game. Here's an argument for Sale, though. Again, I'm an Eovaldi guy, but here's an argument for Sale. And it's a bigger picture argument, too, because I don't disagree with any of the things you said about Chris Sale. Put it this way, if it's Sale or Eovaldi, I feel good about their chances in that game. But if you do start Chris Sale, he'll be on extra rest, because it means they will have bumped him back from the final Sunday of the year, which means they wouldn't have needed him on that final Sunday of the year. So he'll be on extra rest, which is good. And then in game one, let's say, for the sake of discussion, you win. You win the LDS, or you win the wild card game, and you're in the LDS. Nate Eovaldi can start game one, and I would feel comfortable bringing him back on 3 days rest to start game four of the LDS, which would then, I believe, it would probably not line Chris Sale up for games two and five. But put it this way, Chris Sale's not going on short rest at any point in a series. So if Nate Eovaldi starts game one, I don't know, to me, he can start game four, and then you only have to go with three guys. You know, you can drop Pivetta or Eovaldi from that rotation, you know, and go with a three-man rotation for the LDS, even if it does go five games.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know, I wouldn't say as definitively as you did that Sale's not going to go on short rest, because number one, Sale's going to want to pitch every game of the series.
Sure.
And number two, Alex Cora is not in the business of playing for next year. So I think the people who are going to have the most power over these decisions are going to want Chris Sale to pitch as often as possible. Like, the front office is going to be like, no, this is dangerous. He's coming back from Tommy John. We need this guy. But I just believe in the power of Sale's influence and Cora being like, no, we're using him. You know, he'd be throwing a bullpen today anyways. He's going to go out there for two innings.
Yeah.
And that's what worked in 2018. I think it's a good point. I just think that, you know, all hands on deck like never before with this pitching staff, because it's even shorter than the one that they had in 18. So you said you thought they were going to drop Pivetta from the rotation maybe in a five-game series. That means, I assume, you think Erod should start game three?
To be honest, I might go Pivetta in game three. Okay. But then again, you know, now that I'm kind of thinking this out, if you're playing the wild card game on Tuesday, Chris Sale then wouldn't be able to pitch on Friday in game two of the series. So you would need something there. It's just, but put it this way, if they're going three guys through the rotation in the LDS, again, talk about Cora needing to get hot. Who's your guy? Is it Rodriguez? I don't trust him.
Right.
But I don't know if I necessarily trust Pivetta either. I mean, it's just,
I think it's like a bullpen game.
I do too. I mean, Tanner Houck. Probably see both of those guys, to be honest, you know, so it's, but here's the thing. Alex Cora proved in 2018 that he is very capable of this. I mean, he managed 2018 borderline flawlessly, at least if you ask me. Game three of the World Series, the 17-inning game, was a little bit ugly because he didn't know how to double switch and all that. But in the American League ballpark, I have a lot of faith in Alex Cora to pick the right matchup, pick the pitcher on short rest, you know, pick like all that. He did it so well in 2018. Why wouldn't he do it again in 2021? I mean, I've got a lot of faith in him.
Yep. No, that's a great point. And I absolutely agree with you there that they're going to have a leg up in the managerial bench situation for most of these matchups. The final segment of the show, we always do. I didn't give you a heads up on this, so I should have. And if you don't have one, that's fine. But we always do an unpopular opinion. So I was wondering if you had any unpopular opinions or hot takes related to the Red Sox right now. And I'll give you a minute to think about it because I'm going to go first.
Okay, go for it.
And mine is I think Matt Barnes should be closing games right now. And it's not because he looks good, because he doesn't. He actually looks as bad as we've seen him in a long time. He struggled in a meaningless situation against the Mets on Wednesday. He struggled in a blowout lead against the Orioles on Saturday. He does not look good. And he didn't look good before COVID. He had looked started to kind of fade in August. And even if you go back to the All-Star game, it was the first day you looked at him, you said, wow. He does not stand out in this All-Star game. He stands out in a bad way. He's really being the, he looked like the worst pitcher who pitched in the All-Star game. And he's been pretty bad since then. But who's your closer in the postseason? It's probably a mix and match situation. At this point, Barnes is still a guy who has better stuff than most of your guys. I want to get him some confidence. I want to get him going. You've got a week and a half left. You're starting to feel good. Now, this Yankee series, maybe not the time to do it. But if you get through this Yankee series and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you're in good position, it's likely you're gonna make the playoffs here. I want to see Matt Barnes in some high-leverage situations. I don't want to see him pitching these blowouts against the crappy teams. I want to see him pitch in a high-leverage situation.
I love it.
And I know all they've got is crappy teams next week, but you got to try to get this guy some confidence.
No, I mean, listen, there could be an opportunity in this Yankees series, and to me, you've got enough of a buffer. I mean, the Red Sox should be in that wild card game. I mean, with the Orioles and the Nationals coming up, you know, the Yankees and the Blue Jays, I think, still need to play each other. I mean, you're going to be in that game. So if there's a spot, 4-3 ball game, eighth inning, ninth inning, I want to get Matt Barnes in that game. I love the way you put that, Jason. I mean, to me, it's getting that guy right is one of the most important things that they can try to accomplish over the next few weeks. So while that might be an unpopular opinion, I think it is an opinion grounded in logic. And you know what? I'm all for it. So there you have it.
All right.
Now,
all right.
I would go with the yellow uniforms, which I love.
There you go. Okay.
But I've already expressed that. So here's a hot take for you. The Red Sox are going to the LCS. To the LCS.
Wow. No faith in the Rays, huh?
It's stupid. I should have faith in the Rays. I just don't. Like, here's the thing. I can make a legitimate argument for the Red Sox in the wild card game. As you said, it's going to be a slugfest, whether they're playing the Yankees or the Blue Jays. I like Eovaldi in that matchup. I don't know. Like, is Robbie Ray going to shut them down in a wild card game at Fenway Park? I have a hard time seeing that. So I think they're winning the wild card game. And I can make a legitimate argument that they would beat the Rays in a 5-game series. I know they have not played well against the Rays all year long, but I'm sorry. They have better starting pitching. And this is probably me being a fool, not living in 2021, but I don't know who would start game one for the Rays. And it's a silly, stupid, foolish opinion because the Rays are clearly smarter than everybody else and they've got this figured out. But the Red Sox are a traditionally better team on paper, right? I mean, they have star power, you know? It's just, I will make the argument that the Red Sox will go to the LCS. And then I don't like them against the Astros or the White Sox in that series, but they're going there. Red Sox win that wild card game, they will beat the Rays.
Wow. All right. That is an unpopular opinion. I'm not even going to argue it because I am continuously astonished why the Rays are good. I still don't know. And I've been trying to understand why the Rays are good for years, and I can't really
like a degree from MIT to figure out why the Rays are good.
Exactly. They just have like a million players and keep trying them all out until one works. So I could see it. You know, I think it'll be an interesting series if we get that far. But we were so lucky to have Matt McCarthy from 98.5 on the podcast today. Really happy to have you. I'm sure we'll have you again. Maybe in the playoffs or after the playoffs to talk about the offseason. So where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at MattMcCarthy985 and then on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You can find me every Friday night with Tony Maz on the Baseball Hour. And, you know, of course, as the Red Sox enter the playoffs, you know, other odd times as well. So keep your radios on, I guess, or your smartphones or whatever you have.
And the Hardcore Baseball Podcast.
That's right. Yep. The Hardcore Baseball Podcast. We're going to have Mastro on here in the next week or two. So it'll be a good time. We'll do a home and home, Mastro.
All right. All right. Well, that's it. We'll have another episode on Friday. My co-host, Lauren Campbell from Nesson, will be back with that one. So thanks so much for sticking around. You can find me on Twitter at JMasterDonato. You can read my stuff in the Boston Herald. And we are brought to you by the Locked On Bets Podcast. Betting doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast, they always have daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and locks of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.